Well, amen to that, wouldn't you say? That was absolutely awesome. I've got eyes in the back of my head, and I think during the Victory in Jesus song, some of you might have been dancing out there. And that's okay, because David danced before the Lord, didn't he? So if you dance, that's a good thing. And man, I enjoyed that. I hope that third song, I hope you listen to that. And even if you can't sing, or you think you can't sing, I hope that you mouth the words, because that was a prayer. So many of these, Chip, was that a Getty song? I hope that you just enjoyed. I just read the words. That was a prayer. And that was a prayer to the Holy Spirit, in case you hadn't heard that. And that's okay. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that at a different time. That's another theological question. But you can pray to God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, because they are three in one, right? So I hope that you were enriched by that as much as I was. So, you know, we're just conquering COVID here by gathering. And some churches aren't able to gather, but we're able to gather. This is a highlight of my week. I hope you know that. I hope you enjoy it. You're coming out and spread the word. I'm not sure how many that we can legally, hold here, but if there's room for more, bring them on. Get the word out. And what a beautiful day, right? What a beautiful day. Despite all of these crazy things going on in the world, look at it. I'm going to have to get out and take a walk later. I can't sit in all day long on a beautiful day like today. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Find Hebrews chapter 12 in whatever mode of God's word that you are carrying today. This is first in a series of messages, probably four or five messages, called Beat the Blahs. We're going to beat the blahs. There will be some messages. Some will be from the Old Testament. Some will be from the New. I have a message called Defeating Depression. And it wasn't going to be a part of this series, but I'm thinking maybe it should. Because I'm watching on television during the week, and so many more people, because of what's happened in the last few months, are struggling with depression. So I have a message, and God may very well be leading me to that. Beating the blahs. You see, January can be a tough month, can't it? January can be a tough month. Why? The days are shorter. The skies are often grayer. The temperatures are often cooler. The decorations are down, right? The family is gone. And sometimes, like a morning fog, the blahs set in. You know, I don't see how people, I've said this before, I'll say it again, how do people exist without the Lord Jesus Christ? And I don't mean religion. There's enough religion floating around. I mean a relationship, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. He's your friend. He's your Savior. He's your guide. He's your good shepherd. I couldn't, without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence and the power of His inherent, inerrant, inspired Word of God. I'm going to read from that, beginning with chapter 12. Therefore, I'll stop there. When you see a therefore, what do you ask yourself, Mike? What's it there for? Well, it's because of chapter 11. It's because of chapter 11. We've just seen that great hall of fame of faith. All of these great saints of faith, women, men and women alike, Old Testament, all people throughout the faith. Therefore, because of this great cloud of witnesses, since we have that great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and we do, let us all lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Oh, I love this. fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fastening our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Here's the gospel right here in this passage of Scripture. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Where's Jesus right now? He's exactly where the Bible says he is, at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. Nobody wants this service to go better than Jesus does this morning. I can guarantee you that. There's nobody rooting for you. There's nobody that's got your back this morning more than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Father, I pray that you would add your blessings to the reading of your word, by the words of my mouth, the meditations in my heart, be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. Get a life. Oh, that sounded a little harsh, didn't it? Preacher, you're sounding a little harsh today, pointing that finger at us, telling us to get a life. Don't you know how tough things have been this last several months? And you're telling us to get a life? That's exactly what I'm doing. But I'm not telling it and saying that from a platform of harshness. I think you know me better than that, even though you don't know me that well. I'm giving you and issuing that challenge from a platform of love. Get a life. That is what the writer of Hebrews, by the way, we didn't get into that, did we? Is it Paul? You may hear a Freudian slip over the next few minutes, and I might say Paul, but we're not going to get into that either. That's not the point of the hour. Get a life. What kind of life should we get? Several kinds of life. One is an energetic life. I'm going to challenge you from this word of Scripture to get an energetic life. Now, I've got to admit, let me go back. I remember when I wrote these notes on this piece of paper, it was last Monday morning. And I thought, get a life? That's the last thing I want to talk about right now. I want to tell you, when I wrote those notes down on this piece of paper, my get up and go had gotten up and gone. Get a life, preacher, you know, why are you telling the people that one? You don't feel that way right now. But I thought, I've got to do it. It's Monday morning, and I knew what was coming. You know, we were going into the new year, and it seemed like the week got busier as it went on. I was tied up on Tuesday for some reason. I don't even remember. And then we had New Year's Eve, and then we had New Year's celebration and all of these things getting together. And I knew if I didn't do it Monday, it might not get done, Mike. So I got a life, got it down, got this sermon prepared. Geter done. Get it done. Get a life. Why do I say that? Because the writer says, let us run with endurance. The writer doesn't say, let us crawl, let us walk, let us run. And that's why I think, you know, this could be Paul. We're not going to get into that. Whoever it is, it was God's plan. Because Paul liked using athletic metaphors. There weren't a lot of sports back then like there are now, but there were races. Races were run and prizes were given, and so let us run the race. If not physically, by all means spiritually. Before I move, I want to share something with you. I'm not bragging. It's just a little piece of my past, and please take it as that. But I remember several years ago, back like in the early, let's say 2010, I was in a gym, maybe doing the treadmill, and I saw a man who had Mountain City Marathon or something. So I was just, it's me, I'm the conversation man. I said, wow, you've run a marathon? He said, son, I've run 31 marathons. And I didn't start until I was 50 years old. So I thought, if he can do it, I can do it. So in 2011, 2012, and 2013, I ran the Battlefield Marathon up in Northwest Georgia at Chickamauga Battlefield. Do you know where that is, you Civil War buffs? I'd done 5Ks and 10Ks and half marathons, and so I did some marathons. I finally broke 5 hours. Check the times. You know what the guys run them in that are really good? What do they run them in? 2 hours? But I did it. And you know what? If I did it, I think if nothing else came from that, people thought, if Todd did it, I can do it. If Todd did it, I can do it. Why did you do it, preacher? Because I needed to do something physically to jumpstart me spiritually. Do you understand that? Run the race. Maybe you're here and you say, I could never do that. I can't run a marathon. Well, I can barely even walk. Well, I think the emphasis is a spiritual emphasis. Run the race. If you're not able to really engage physically, then you can engage emotionally, can't you? And spiritually, I'm telling you what. Now, I'm not saying we all ought to be busy and we all ought to just, you know, try to be doing something all the time. But there's something I've discovered. It's harder for the devil to hit a moving target. Did you know that? It is harder for the devil to hit a moving target. Maybe it's not physical, but it's spiritual. So get alive. Don't just walk the race. Run the race. Are you with me on that? We're just 1/5 of the way through, so I hope you're listening. Get an energetic life. Get a persevering life. Oh, I love this word. It says, run the race with endurance. The NIV says perseverance. What difference does it make? It doesn't really make a difference how you translate it. The word is there, and I don't even know what the Greek word is. I didn't look it up this time. But it's run with endurance. Run with perseverance. Keep on running. I remember, Charlene might remember this. We didn't even talk about this. I didn't tell her I was going to share this, but do you remember back in the day when we were living in Western Kentucky and Jessica did that little track meet thing, a bunch of families, she remembers, a bunch of families got together. I don't know, this was strange. There was a little local community private track meet. So all of our kids got together and they ran, you know, big races and solemn races. They might have even done some field events. But I never will forget in the end, the old boy that put this together said, now the daddies are going to run. Oh, we are. So there I was in my blue jeans, running a sprint. And I thought, wow, you know, run with endurance. But nevertheless, you know, we did that, and I persevered, and I ran the race. It wasn't easy, but, you know, and I know I didn't come in first, but nevertheless, we did that. Run the race with perseverance. Keep on keeping on. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance has its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See if you can identify this person, okay? I'll give you a few hints. Who does this sound like? I wonder if you can identify this man. He was born in 1809 and suffered his first major defeats in 1832, a year in which he lost his job and was defeated in his first political race in a bid for the state legislature. In the next year, 1833, he failed in business. In 1835, his childhood sweetheart died. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. In 1843, he was defeated in a bid for the U.S. Congress. Do y'all know who this is yet? In 1848, he tried again and was again defeated. 1849, he decided to become a land officer but was rejected. In 1854, he was defeated in a race for United States Senate. In 1856, he lost a nomination for the vice presidency. In 1858, he was again defeated in a race for the Senate. Can you believe that? A list of defeats like this would be enough to discourage any man. But he said, in all ways, I will do my best no matter what. And someday my chance will come. I will always do my best, and someday my chance will come. So what happened in 1860? He was the nominee on the Republicans for the United States president. And folks, that's not even listed in this. But if you want to watch something interesting, I saw that somewhere on YouTube. That is fascinating. That wasn't easy. He didn't win on the first go-around. It looked as though he wasn't going to win. It took a bunch of finagling and a bunch of political, you know, rigmarole before he ended up being the nominee, Mike. But he was. And in 1861, Abraham Lincoln became the 16th president of the United States. Persevere. You don't know what's coming. An answer is right around the corner. Okay, get a life. Does that offend you when I say that? Who's offended by that? Maybe you are a little. I know Charlene, on coming down here, I guess it was, I made my coffee too strong. She said, "What's gotten into you today, Todd? You're all wound up, you know." I don't know. It must be the caffeine. It must be this sermon. Get a life! An energetic life. A persevering life. I love this one. It gets better. Get a life. Get a simplified life, okay? Get a simplified life. Lay aside. I love this. I love this. It's so important. Why? Lay aside every encumbrance. I've already kind of dipped into my illustration on running in jeans and said, you know, despite the difficulty of that, I persevered, probably finished 7th out of 8th. Can you imagine running in jeans? Let's build on that illustration a little bit here. Imagine, Jim, if you're watching the Olympics. You watch the Olympics? I knew you did because you're an Olympic kind of guy, you know. And so it's time for the 100-yard dash. Lo and behold, what, this is odd. All of these guys are coming out here in business suits. In street shoes, as they used to call them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the 100-yard dash being run in business suits and street shoes? You wouldn't be getting any 10-second times, would you? Why? If you're going to run that race, you just got little gym shorts on, a little flimsy shirt, and the best of running shoes. But I want you to know that people are living the Christian life as if they were running the 100-yard dash in business suits and dress shoes. The preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that people are trying to live the Christian life, trying to walk with God with all sorts of baggage and encumbrances. Can I get an amen to that? What is it, preacher? Well, it's, for one, it's pride. Oh, my goodness. How many of you just this week have had your pride challenged? How dare they do that to me? How about unforgiveness? Anybody been tested there lately? If you're living, you have, right? Somebody done you wrong, didn't they? I've been done wrong, preacher. And you don't know what I'm going through. And if you knew what I was going through, then you'd understand. And you'd understand that I have a right to feel the way that I do. Well, as long as you're feeling that way, I got news for you. You're running the 100-yard dash in a business suit and street shoes. Pride unforgiveness, guilt, habits. I've been thinking about that lately. I've been, you know, some little habits are creeping in. Some little habits are creeping in. It's time, isn't it? Now, I'm not a big proponent of New Year's resolutions, but I think it's good to break some bad habits, don't you? Wouldn't now be a good time? Busyness. I had a boss that one time, years ago when I graduated from college and took my first job, he said, do a few things, do them well. Isn't that great advice? The older I get, I'm trying to narrow the focus. You see the need for that? Now, some of you, it's not everybody. We're all over the board here, and some people are listening online, and that's a good thing, too. And some of you are very busy. Maybe this whole lockdown and quarantine has taken care of some of that, because I think, by and large, Americans are addicted not only to pleasure, Americans are addicted to busyness. So it's been tough, hasn't it? But maybe it's time to kind of shed some of those things. Are there things in your life that are unproductive? Are there habits? Are there activities? Are there relationships in your life that are unproductive? The writer of Hebrews says, get alive. Get a simplified life. Set aside those things that are not productive. Are you getting this? Shake your head yes. I won't even ask you, but if you can think of something, I won't ask you what it is. If you can think of something that maybe you need to shed, maybe that needs to go by the wayside, raise your hand. Anybody? Oh, I see hands. Thank you for your honesty. I've got them. Little habits that creep in. Oh, I can go on and on about this. That's why I got so wound up this morning. It's not the caffeine. It's just because I believe in this so much. Get a life. Get a simplified life. Now, at 32 years old, I probably wouldn't get this wound up about this sermon. But at 62 years old, when I think of all the little things that mattered so much back in the day, that it doesn't matter so much anymore, does it? Get alive. All right, two more things and we're done. We're 3/5 of the way through, so that means 60%, right? You ready for this? Get a hopeful life. Get a hopeful life. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Here's a verse that this is an Old Testament alternative to the Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Even youths grow tired and weary. Even young people grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The Bible says that Jesus, it's right here, he hung there on the cross, enduring the pain, the physical pain, the spiritual pain, in order that our sins might be atoned for. He endured the pain, scorning the shame, knowing that it wouldn't be long before he could say what? It is finished. It is finished. No more. The price has been paid. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Sin has been atoned for. Jesus hung there on the cross. Hung there in love. Hung there in grace. Hung there what? In hope. You know what? The old devil can take away a lot of things. He can steal your joy. And he's done that to a lot of people, hadn't he? But you know what? Hang on to your hope. Aren't you hoping for a better day? No matter how these elections turn out and all this stuff going on turns out, it's not going to rob me of my hope. Hope, if not in this life, in the life to come, right? Let me give you a difference between secular hope and biblical hope. And then we're going to move on and we're going to wrap this up. Do you see the difference between secular hope? Let's say that your granddaughter is getting married on Saturday, May 1st. Okay? Hypothetical. Your granddaughter is getting married on Saturday, May 1st. And what are you thinking? She's already told you it's going to be outside. But, Grandma, it's going to be outside. No matter. But, daughter, but sweetheart, it's going to be outside. I've been dreaming of that since I was 2 years old. And so what are you doing? What are you doing? You're hoping. Aren't you hoping it's going to be a sunny day? My niece got married, I remember, from Western Kentucky a few years ago. She was hoping, it was in the fall, that it was going to be clear. It rained like cats and dogs. But the wedding still took place. But you're hoping, right, Bill? You're hoping that it's going to be sunny. Is that biblical hope? Is that what the Bible means when it says hope? When the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about something that is a sure-fired thing. The psalmist said, Israel, Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Does that mean that maybe he'll deliver and maybe he won't? Does that mean when you die, maybe you'll go to heaven and maybe you won't? Of course not. It means that a relationship with Jesus Christ is a sure-fire thing. Those that hope. You see the difference? Oh, man, we use love in such a shallow way. We use faith in such a shallow way. Hope. Oh, I sure hope. I sure hope that it's sunny. As if you doubt it's going to be. I'm not doubting. I've got my hang-ups. I've got my demons that I fight. But hope is hope. Hope will be fulfilled. Are we okay on that? You got that down? Get a life, okay? You'll never look at that phrase again the same, will you? Get a life. Get an energetic life. Get a persevering life. Get a simplified life. Get a hopeful life. One final point. Very close to number four. Get a believing life. Get a believing life. Start believing. You see, and I'm going to break this down. There are 2 points. Faithful life. Faith what? Faith does what? Faith saves. For it is by grace that you have been saved through what? Faith. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Faith is your ticket into the kingdom. Faith is your sustaining ticket, if you will, throughout the kingdom. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we're going to finish with this. Get a believing life, a faithful life, a focused life. 2 little illustrations, one personal and one from history again. This is the personal. My wife's here to vouch for this. She's probably the better driver of the two. See, I can relinquish my pride. She's probably the better driver of the two. We're driving down the road. Let me give you an illustration. We're driving down the road. We were, and boy, I see a bunch of deer over here in the meadow. Charlene, look at all of those deer over there in the meadow. What's happening? Come on, you all know what's happening. Next thing you know, I'm driving toward those deer. So you know what Charlene says? Todd, you drive, and I'll look. It's okay to laugh, you all. You drive, and I look. Now, why is that? Because I want to tell you why that is. We drift toward what we're looking at. You drift toward what you're looking at. If you're watching a bunch of junk on Netflix, if you're reading a bunch of junk, if you're looking at a bunch of junk, you're going to drift toward what you're looking at. And so, you need to get a life. You need to get a focused life. Okay? One last story. We're good on time. I was hoping that I would get this one in. I've been on the running thing, haven't I, Jim? The Olympics thing. I'll tell you a little story. This happened, true story. 1992 Olympics. One of track and field's most incredible moments. There was a runner. See if you remember this story. Derek Redmond. That ring a bell? Anybody know yet? He had dreamed all of his life. Those guys, you know, they prepare all of their lives for just a few minutes, don't they? It's amazing how dedicated they are. All of their lives for the 400-meter race. And his dream was in sight of winning as the gun sounded at the semifinals in Barcelona. He was running the race of his life and could see the finish line as he rounded the turn into the backstretch. Suddenly, what happened? Suddenly, he felt a sharp pain go up the back of his leg. He fell face first into the track with a torn hamstring. Sports Illustrated recorded the dramatic events. As the medical attendants were approaching, Redmond fought to his feet. Quote, it was an animal instinct. He set out hopping in a crazed attempt to finish the race. Now listen to this. When he reached the stretch, a large man in a t-shirt came out of the stands, hurled aside a security guard, and ran to Redmond, embracing him. It was Redmond's father, Jim. The son said, the dad said, you don't have to do this. He told his weeping son, you don't have to do this. Yes, I do, said Derek. Well then, said Jim, we're going to finish the race together. Isn't that awesome? We're going to finish the race together. And they did. Fighting off security men, the son's head sometimes buried in his father's shoulder, they stayed in Derek's lane all the way to the end as the crowd gasped, then rose and howled and wept. Derek didn't walk away with the gold medal, but he walked away with an incredible memory of a father who, when he saw his son in pain, he left his seat in the stands to help him finish the race. Isn't that awesome? His father saw his son in pain and helped him finish. Don't you see the illustration here? God sees your pain. You've snapped a spiritual hamstring. It's tough. You think, I don't know if I can make it. Well, you can't make it without God coming out of the stands, if you will, putting his arm around you and helping you finish the race. And don't you know, if he's there to help you finish the race, what? You're a winner. You're a winner. Maybe you're not going to get the gold medal or the silver medal or the bronze medal, but you know what? You're a winner. Because with God, we're always a winner, right? So get alive. That is the first step toward beating the blahs. And those are the words we're going to leave with you this morning. Get alive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you, Father. We're all walking around wounded and weary with snapped hamstrings from a spiritual standpoint. Lord, come out of the stands. Help us finish this race. We cannot finish this race on our own, Lord, but we want to finish. And we know with your strength we can. Guide us now, Lord. And we know that your power is going to be Holy Spirit power. And this we pray in thy name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this final song together. Sing it like you mean it. Sing it as a prayer. And you allow God to move in ways that he wants to move.